Hello and welcome to Michael's Saturday Surprise. As most fans of old-time radio know, Gunsmoke was perhaps radio's most influential program. It was America's first adult Western, dealing with topics that previously had been off-limits to network radio. And with its transition to television, it continued to influence the entertainment industry for years to come. Hi, my name is Brad Snyder, and this time I'd like to present a couple of programs that laid the foundation for what would become America's favorite Western. The first is an audition show for Gunsmoke. This is the first of two audition shows. It is titled Dylan Goes to Gougei and originally aired on June 11th, 1949.
The story of the violence that moved westward with young America. The story of one man who moved with it, Mark Dillon, United States Marshal.
Oh, a man there lives on the western plains with a ton of fight and an ounce of brains, who herds the cows as he robs the trains and goes by the name of Cow.
He was part of it, a singing saddle bum, a cowboy, a drifter. They all drifted here to Dodge City one time or another. It's the end of the track and the start of the wilderness, a dumping ground of odds and ends, beginnings and leftovers. It's a place to stop and take the kind of pleasure you need. It's a place to pass through. Sometimes it's a place to die. My part of it was a sun-charred shack, rent paid by the United States government, and a marshal's badge, furnished free. I was at the window watching the heat plump itself with Kansas dust and roll in towards the town when the door opened.
Your name, Dylan? You're the United States Marshal?
She was about 50. Hat, poke bonnet, dress, gingham, shoes, beaded Indian moccasin.
I heard about you in Gougei. They said there was a steady marshal here. Been living for 6 months running.
They've been lying to you. 4 months.
They say you can break a man's heart at 50 yards. They say you and your gun's already done that.
What's on your mind?
I want you to saddle up and get down to Gougei.
Why?
My husband. My husband owns the White Buffalo. Roulette, music, drinks. They say the roulette wheel's crooked.
Look, ma'am, half the roulette wheels in the West are probably crooked.
Maybe. But in Gougei, they kill a man for running a crooked wheel.
Well, look, ma'am,
Abigail Contuarius, that's my name.
Yeah. Well, Mrs. Contuarius, you don't need a marshal. You need an honest husband.
That wheel's no more crooked than you are. Leastwise, from all I hear about you. If it was, I wouldn't take none of the money's won from it.
Oh, sure.
Don't shore me, Marshal. The money don't just mean money to me. It means books for Indian kids and writing stuff, slates and all.
Oh, missionary.
Me, with a gambler and a philanderer and a toper for a husband. I teach Indian kids, that's all. Teach them to behave and a little learning, that's all.
That's good work, ma'am. These towns could use more people like you.
Never mind that. If I don't get help, those kids will go back to their wild ways and I'll have a dead husband. You coming? Or do I have to ride that mule some more?
Ride it back to Gougei. I'll be along.
Make it soon, Marshal. There'll be a convulsion down there if you don't.
It was night when the town of Gougei came out of the wilderness and beckoned to me like a painted skinny hag. If Dodge City had a tougher sister, this was it. I rode up to the White Buffalo and started to tie my horse to a hitching post whittled to the shape of a Pawnee girl when suddenly the gun in my back told me I wasn't alone.
You won't like it here, Marshal. Pretty as it is, you won't like it.
No?
No, and don't turn around, Marshal. I'm shy and I'm modest and I embarrass easy. Isn't that so, Harold? You see, Harold thinks it so. Harold had his tongue clipped. Apaches.
Maybe it was too long.
Oh, now, that's not a genteel thing to say to Harold, Marshal. He takes offense.
I'm new here. Back in Dodge City, the etiquette's a little more formal.
Then go back to Dodge. We're very happy here in Gougei. Like little birds. You could spoil it.
I was invited, special invitation.
Well, the party's over. Now, Harold, now!
Something lashed out across my skull. A bead of glass splintered my brain. From far, far away, I heard some words.
Like I said, Marshal, you won't like it in Gaujai.
I wanted to kill him, but I couldn't. I didn't know who he was. I hadn't seen his face. But I knew I'd never forget that voice and that crazy giggle. When I opened my eyes, I was in Gaujai's dirt. I picked myself up and waited till the town stopped its dizzy dance. On its third time round, I spotted a horse trough. I stuck my head in it to get rid of the blood on my face. I finally pushed my bones through the swinging doors of the White Buffalo. It was the usual kind of place, like Mrs. Contreras had said. Roulette, music, drinks. I got halfway across the floor toward the bar. Then I saw her and heard her. Slender, hair molded black, and something profane and exquisite distilled into her features. She looked at me, and when she spoke, it was as if she hadn't quit singing.
Buenas noches, chico. Oh, a marshal. A marshal with a new scar and a muddy badge. You buy a drink, huh, chico?
Here's a buck. Buy yourself an egg. Where can I find the owner?
Over there by the poker table. The goatee and pompadour.
Thanks.
Hasta la vista, marshal.
Yeah, I'll be seeing you. Your name, Contreras?
Si. Oh, the marshal from Dodge City. Oh, you have the look of a large headache, senor.
Yeah, someone else besides you and your wife was expecting me.
Oh, muy mal bad.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
So I see. But I am glad you have come, senor marshal. Look around. You see my place? The White Buffalo, sole proprietor and owner, me, Rafael Ramon Jose Contreras. Magnificent establishment, no?
Mm-hmm. Looks like your magnificent establishment takes plenty.
For weeks now, I am losing money on the roulette wheel. Still, people say it is crooked.
Oh?
Someone is swindling me, senor. This someone I swear I will kill dead unless you find him for me first. That is why my wife comes to you, ask you to come to Gauja.
She had a little different. She's afraid this someone might kill you first.
Como? Oh, see, that might happen. But not so long as he can swindle me. Why kill the chicken with the golden egg, senor?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's have a look at this wheel of yours.
Si. Follow me.
12, red, number 12.
Who's your spinner?
Greg Hagen, base croupier in the territory.
Uh-huh. Suppose you let me look around myself.
As you wish, senor. You find that someone who is swindling my wheel, see?
I'll give it a try, Mr. Contreras.
Bueno.
Contreras left me alone. I watched the table for a while. Nothing happened. Wheel didn't look crooked, and if it was being swindled, it was done clever. Finally, I moved around near the croupier. Hagen.
Yeah?
See you a minute.
What for? Oh, the marshal. Yeah. Bill, take over for a minute.
Sure. Okay, marshal. What can I do for you?
This joint legitimate?
Why ask me? Contreras.
I know. Sole proprietor and owner. Rumor has it the wheel's rigged, is it?
Suppose it is.
Well, then, I could win. You could win, too. Maybe 25% of what I win, and Contreras wouldn't know.
Keep talking.
We both got to live 50%.
Now get this. Contreras is my friend.
Sorry I made a mistake. No hard feelings?
Plenty hard feelings. I think I like it better back at the table. Look around yourself. Make up your own mind about the wheel.
So I did. Mostly I hung around the roulette table. As far as I could see, the wheel was given the house and the customers an even break. Just about the time I started to walk away, two new players came up to the crowded table. One, pasty face, handsome, in a weak chin sort of way. The other, a big, silent hulk of a man with a drooping lower lip. They didn't seem to be together or even know each other. On the next spin, the ball fell into 29, bounced out, rolled around 13, finally settled in 00. Just as it did, Pastyface reached out and put a $100 bill on 00. Greg Hagen, the croupier, looked up and spoke soft but fast.
Sorry, mister, you placed your bet after the ball settled. The house can't accept it.
I had that $100 down before you started to spin. Pay me off.
Sorry, mister, the house says you take back your money.
Don't worry.
Pay me, brother, before I make brush out of this joint, and you first.
Any trouble, Greg?
Yeah, this man placed a bet after the ball dropped.
Ah, he's crazy. I had the bet down at plenty of time.
So sorry, senor. The croupier is always right. Take your bill from the table. And if you please, get out.
He did. Fast. Too fast. As he went, I started to remember his voice. I'd heard it before. It was the voice behind my back when I first hit town. And all of a sudden, it made sense, and I knew I'd found out one way the Spaniard was getting rooked. Pasty Face and the Hulk were a team. When Pasty Face picked up the bill, there was a blue chip under it, on 00, and the house paid off to the Hulk. All according to Hoyle, except for one thing. The Hulk hadn't placed any bets. It was a good stunt. There had to be more to it than that, so I gave Contuarius a nod and followed Pasty Face as he left. I got out of the casino just in time to see him disappear around a corner. I took it easy, polite and easy. And a bullet nubbed the dust at my feet. I ducked into the shadows and whipped out my guns. A flash had come from a narrow passageway between two buildings.
I'm in this alley, Marshal. Come on in and get me.
Wait right there, kid.
I'm waiting.
He was in there somewhere, in that long slab of night that was too black to see through. Somewhere in there. I put my back against the wall and slid into it.
Strike a match. I want to see your face when it happens to you.
Try me.
No, Marshal. You shoot first. You'll miss. You know that, Marshal. But I won't, because your gun flash will tell me where you are.
Real clever. And that was clever what you did back at the White Buffalo.
Honest Injun? Now tell me about it.
You and your friend. That was Harold, huh? A giggler with a talent for pistol whipping.
Tell me some more about it.
You throw down a $100 bill with a blue chip underneath it after the ball drops. You get yourself thrown out. Harold collects 35-1.
Did Harold do that? Oh, Harold, did you do that?
And there he was, framed in the entrance of the alley. I was caught between them, Pasty Face and the mute called Harold. The big guns in Harold's hands turned over and over. His face held all the evil in the world.
You're all right, Harold. Take him!
He was shooting waist high along the wall. And he was getting close. There was only one thing to do. And I couldn't miss.
You got Harold, Marshal, but you made a mistake. Your gun flash gave you away.
When I opened my eyes, I was in a place I'd never been before. Kind of cottonwood clearing. I eased the wound in my shoulder, and from across a smoldering campfire, I saw her. The girl from the White Buffalo. A morning sun lighted up the features of a man at her feet. It was Señor Rafael Ramon Jose Contuarius. And the bullet hole in the middle of his forehead gave him an extra flourish. Now it was Señor Rafael Ramon Jose Contuarius deceased. And the pretty señorita was singing a love song.
Back to Gunsmoke in just a moment. Combining modern detective methods with secrets of the mysterious East, The Green Llama offers CBS listeners a new thrill now on Sundays. Once he has heard of a crime or an injustice, Jethro Dumont, a wealthy young American just returned from 10 years in Tibet, brings into play his quick wit and knowledge of illusion to thwart the evildoers. Join him Sunday as he continues his fight against crime on this side of the Pacific, wearing green, the color of Tibetan justice, aided by Tulku, his trusted lieutenant. The Green Llama is a feature presentation of most of these same CBS stations. Now back to Mark Dillon, United States Marshal, and Gunsmoke.
You have fled long, Chico. without dreams.
How do you know there were no dreams?
Because I saw Death give you a little piece of himself and then ride away on a black pony.
Yeah, I'm lucky. Who are you? How'd you get here?
They call me Tomas. I brought you here. The wagon over there in the burrow. You are muy lucky, Chico. The bullet was for your heart, but it spent itself in your shoulder. It was not your time to die.
But it was Contreras' time, huh?
Perhaps his grave has been empty too long.
And you knew him well?
See, I knew him.
Well enough to kill him.
I did not kill him. Señor Contreras was my protector.
What did he protect you from? Himself?
I like your mouth better when it is gentle, Chico.
And who did kill him?
How would I know? He was there like that when we arrived.
Why'd you bring me here?
I like you, Chico. That's why I tell you. If you leave, go back to Dodge City. If you die, die in Dodge City. It is not good here for either one.
Why didn't Pasty Face finish the job?
Right after you were wounded, I came along. I persuaded him you were dead.
He persuades easy, huh?
He persuades easy. Poor Tamar. The shots were heard. People came. Señor Drew does not like attention.
Drew? Ah, his name's Drew. But why here? What'd you bring me here for?
I thought Conquarius could help you. After all, he was your friend.
How'd you know that?
I saw you talking together in the White Buffalo. But tonight, out of the darkness, Death found Contreras.
Contreras! Contreras! Where is he? Where is he? Answer me, woman, or I'll horsewhip you within an inch of your life.
There, senora.
Hello, Marshal. Enjoying yourself? Get up, Contreras, get up!
He's dead, ma'am.
He shouldn't be lying there on the cold ground. I'll lift him into the cart.
I will help you, senora.
If you so much as touch him, I'll kill you. Come along. Contreras. Give me that blanket, Marshal. You won't need it.
Sure. Here, ma'am. You're pretty strong to lift him by yourself.
I've done it before. You're hurt, Marshal.
I'll be all right.
You can come, too, if you want to, Marshal. I'll take you back to town.
Yes, ma'am. I didn't think she'd make it, but she did. Somewhere on that long wagon ride back to town, she squeezed a tear onto her cheek. Just one tear, but for Mrs. Contreras, there was a major emotion. The sun was doing its best to char the wood-frame buildings when we hit Gaujai.
All right, Marshal. Get out of the wagon.
Why bring me back to Gaujai? Just so I could pick my own gutter?
That door. A check door right over there. Try it. Get up.
Oh, come on, Dylan. All you have to do is lift your arm and knock on the door.
Yeah?
Well, Marshal. What's the offer this time? 150%? Hey, you're hurt. Come on in.
Thanks.
Who sent you here?
Mrs. Contreras.
Oh. I better cut away that shirt.
Why'd she send me here, Greg?
Not neat, Marshal. Not neat at all.
Why here, Greg? You a duck?
Lie still. I'll get some things.
You haven't answered my question.
I do things with my hands, Marshal. Spin roulette wheels and extract bullets between spins.
You a doc?
Yeah, I'm a doc. Was. Had a shingle. Shiny one. And they said I couldn't have it anymore. They had a word for it. Malpractice. They said I did something... What are you looking at?
That roulette wheel on the table over there. What's the matter, Greg? Don't you get enough practice at the White Buffalo?
You want this wound fixed or not?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Say, Greg.
Yeah?
I once heard about a croupier clever enough to spin a wheel and drop a ball into any slot he wanted. Hit it about once out of five times. Not bad.
Once in four is better. What about it?
I could mention it to Mrs. Contreras. Round up you and Drew and go back to Dodge City.
Drew?
Pasty Face guy, the guy who pulled the fast trick with the chip and the $100 bill last night.
I didn't know him.
I refused the bet, didn't I?
Yeah, that's what doesn't fit.
I'd stop worrying about it if I were you, Marshal. I could keep this wound open and let it bleed.
On the other hand, you could take the bullet out.
Yeah, I could do that.
And I'd owe you something. I wouldn't have to remember you to Mrs. Contuarius.
It's like this, Marshal. First, I just wanted to tame the wheel. Then it got out of hand.
Tamar have anything to do with it, getting out of hand?
What do you know about... I'm ready to take the bullet out, Marshal. You're going to keep what you know to yourself?
Take the bullet out. I'll bite my lip.
Yeah, do that, Marshal. It's a nice pose.
I bit my lip, but all I got was pain in my mouth. I didn't need that. There was enough pain. It was a pain that was painted in red, and it couldn't decide whether it was a flame or an icicle. When I woke up, Greg was talking to someone. It didn't take long to recognize the voice.
You should have let him die, Chico. You will only cause trouble.
He's got nothing on me. Only trouble I got is you. Every man in town. You couldn't even leave the marshal alone.
Caramia, you're crazy. I found the marshal in the cottonwood clearing, like I told you.
He was there when I came.
Yeah. Keeping your little rendezvous with Contuarius. I warned you, Tamar. I told you if I ever caught you with Contuarius again, I'd kill him, and I did.
I'm sorry I heard you say that, Greg.
Don't be sorry. Just leave town. I could have let you die, Marshal.
I'm gonna take you, Greg. But first, I'm gonna give you some advice.
Yeah?
Get rid of Tamar. One of her stories is bad, either the one she told you or the one she told me.
Don't listen to him, Chico.
She told me she brought me to the Cottonwood clearing, persuaded Drew that I was dead. If that's true, then it follows that Drew's cutting your time the same as Contuarius was. You can't kill everybody Tamar takes up with.
The marshal talking through his wound, Tamar?
He's delirious. He's lying, Greg. I found him in the clearing, as I told you.
Well, Greg, who do you believe? Me or Tamar?
Get out, Marshal. Get out and leave town.
Can't, Greg, not yet. Gotta take you. Also, there's a personal matter to attend to.
I could have let you die, Marshal, remember?
Yeah. I'll testify at your trial.
Kill him, Greg. Kill him now.
Shut up. You know, Tamar, you've got too many friends.
It's a lie. Everything he says is a lie.
Maybe. We'll stay one more night in Gaujai. Just one more night. That's all we'll need.
No good, Greg. I'll have to take you.
With your shooting arm in a sling, I don't think so.
I'll gamble on it, Greg. Want odds? I got up and left Greg's shack. He didn't try to stop me. One thing about Greg, he wasn't afraid of me or anybody else. I went back to the White Buffalo and waited. About an hour later, Mrs. Contuarius drove up. She was wearing black. She'd just come from her husband's funeral.
Lend me your good arm, Marshal. I don't want to rip this dress.
Yes, ma'am. There you are. Was it a nice funeral, ma'am?
Yes, Marshal. The kids behaved real nice.
You've done a good job on them, ma'am.
Thanks. Come in and have a drink, Marshal. You look peaked.
I followed her into the casino. In an hour, began to fill up. I hid myself behind the stairs where I had a clear view of the roulette table and waited. About eight, Tamar walked through the door. Tamar in a dress of red. Tamar buckled with silver. She strolled over to the table and put some chips on the black as Greg spun. There was no sign of recognition between them.
Seven black. Seven pays. Black pays. Place your bets.
On the next spin, Tamar won again. Then she lost. She doubled her bets and won more times than she lost. After a while, she stopped playing colors and switched to single numbers, 35 to 1. She kept on winning, but one out of four, like Greg said. In an hour, there was roughly $20,000 stacked in front of her. Just before she bet number 13, I saw Greg fold his thumb under his palm and rub the side of his face.
13 black. 13 pays. Black pays.
Lucky. You're very lucky tonight, Tamar.
Tonight, Signora? But I'm always lucky at your tables, no?
Not as lucky as tonight. Sorry, man, this is a private table from now on. You can all move to the second wheel right over there.
Private table, Signora?
Yes. Just you and this gentleman.
The man Abigail thumbed at over her shoulder was Mr. Drew in person.
I put my good hand on my gun and prepared to finish my unfinished business. Then I decided to wait for the piece to play itself out. I didn't know what Mrs. Contuarius had in mind, but this show was too good to spoil. Tamar, Greg, and Drew.
I don't know. This is my last spin.
That's all right, Tamar. All Mr. Drew wants is just one spin. Right, Mr. Drew?
Yeah, just one spin with the little lady.
But I...
Mr. Drew, huh?
Yeah.
But I do not feel like betting.
We'll spin once more.
Bueno. All of my chips on number one.
Hmm. Number one, huh? Hey. Yeah, that's a good number. Number one. I'll take 10,000 in gold on number one.
Three, red. Three pays. Red pays.
Why, you double...
No! Sir. No!
Greg didn't have a chance. The knife he tried to draw was hammered back by the bullets that tore through his hand and across his chest. Suddenly his face changed. He looked young and hurt, and ashamed of the blood that he couldn't hold back.
It'll make me happy if no one tries to follow us. Let's go, Tamar.
He held his guns like they were dogs on a leash that could snap easy. He waited for Tamar to scoop up the money. Then they backed out of the casino.
You let him get away, Marshal.
I don't think so, ma'am. He knows I'll come and get him. He'll be waiting for me. He'll be wanting to finish me off if he can. And I'm going to give him his chance. I figured there was only one place to look. And there they were, resting easy in the cottonwood clearing.
I knew you'd have to come after me, Marshal. You're funnier than an actor. I saw one once in Dodge. You're funnier.
Maybe you laughed too easy, Drew. Like you killed too easy.
A marshal with a gun arm and a sling chasing the killer.
Go away, Marshal. Go away while there's still time.
I got nothing but time. I'll wait.
You're wrong, Marshal. You've got no time at all.
Yeah?
Chico. Chico. This I do not believe. It is impossible that someone could shoot faster than Senor Drew. And with your left hand. Oh, Chico, you are so very quick with your gun. I like that about a man.
Take it easy, Tamar. Come on. Let's go.
Go? Not now, Marshal. There's time. Sit here. Sit here next to Tamar.
Like this?
See.
You know what I think?
Chico, don't talk now.
I think he had a great thing with Greg. He could put that ball on any number you bet on. Only that wasn't enough for you.
But it doesn't matter now, darling.
You thought you could double your profits by throwing in with Drew. Maybe you were going to double-cross him, too. I don't know.
Don't worry about it, Chico. The money is yours, too.
It belongs to Mrs. Contuarius. That's who's going to get it.
What? What are you talking about?
Take your choice. Come back with me to the jail in Gaojai, or I'll turn you over to Mrs. Contuarius. I don't think she could stand having you alive.
You!
Come on. This is the first time I've ever held a gun on a woman.
Chico, surely you are playing with me.
You're an accessory to murder, Tamar.
We'll go away together. You and I. Mexico, New Orleans. Listen to me, Chico. You and I.
Let's go, Tamar.
Listen to me. There's plenty of money, yours and mine. Listen to me.
She put her arms around my neck and her lips close to my ear. And for a long time, for a long, long time, first in English, and in Spanish, then in Cherokee, then in a language I couldn't recognize, she whispered at me every foul name in the book. She was talented. She didn't repeat herself once. Tamar didn't understand that a marshal had a job to do, and that the job got done. Way back to Dodge, I came across a cottonwood clearing I'd never noticed before. I rode down into it. A small animal scurried off a log and lost itself in the shadows. And I was alone. And for a time after that, for a long time after that,
worked, I thought about Tamar. He'd given her her guitar, but I knew she wouldn't be singing much longer. The rest of the way home, the country was dust. Got inside of my mouth, and it stayed there.
From June 11, 1949, that was the first of two audition shows for Gunsmoke, titled Dylan Goes to Gougei. And now coming up next, I have an episode from the CBS radio dramatic series, Romance. This episode is titled Pagosa. And I believe you're going to hear some familiar voices in this one. This program first aired on August 6th, 1951.
Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment, Romance. Romance, bringing you the finest stories of the world's greatest romantic authors. Stories of the courage, the devotion, the adventure of love, all strung on the bright thread of romance. Tonight, the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you John Meston's unusual romance of the West, Pagosa.
Refreshment while you work, or enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. The delicious, long-lasting, real mint flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The good, smooth chewing helps keep you feeling fresh and alert, adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. So indoors, outdoors, at work or play, enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Wrigley's Spearmint, refreshing, delicious.
Now, with Bill Conrad starred as Jeff Spain, here is the first act of Pagosa.
Riding out of the desert up to the wooden bridge that crosses the Gila River on the approach to Pagosa is a tall, imposing figure of Jeff Spain. A deerskin shirt hangs loosely across his big, heavy shoulders. His body moves with the horse and seems to have no weight to it as he takes the bridge townward, the plank boards roaring beneath him. Pagosa is a scatter of faded buildings that grew up around an old desert trading post, and its streets and saloons are generally crowded with thirsty men who have trailed cattle across the desert and down out of the distant hills. It's shortly before noon when Spain rides into town and up the main street. At the end of the street, he notices a small stable and turns into it.
What are you doing here, mister?
Hello. Do you run this place?
I own it. I don't run it.
Well, I'm looking for a stable to board my horse in for a day or so.
I don't board horses here. Try the St. Charles Corral.
I'll pay you a dollar a day and I'll feed him myself.
I don't need the money.
That's not friendly.
But why should I bother? Who are you anyway?
And that's bad manners.
Now don't tell me what's good or what's bad.
Look, miss, I'm a stranger here, and the sooner I find the land office, the sooner I'll be out of your way.
Well, it's on Cherokee Street, next to the Kettle House.
Oh? The food good at the Kettle House?
Try it.
I'll leave the money in the grain box here.
All right, if you insist.
I do. And thank you.
If there's no one at the land office, go to the Lark and ask for Mitch.
Thanks. I shall.
After taking a room at the Kettle House, Spain goes to the land office. Door is shut and locked. He looks around, sees the lock directly opposite, and crosses the crowded, dusty street. The place is somewhat smaller than the usual gambling saloon, but obviously popular.
What's yours, mister?
Man called Mitch from the land office.
Mitch Travis. He's in the corner around behind the stairs there with Miss Teal.
Oh, well then, maybe I better wait.
Teal Travis. His sister, she owns the Lark.
Thanks. Hello?
Oh, it's you.
Seems like you own a lot of things in Pagosa.
One stable for pleasure, one saloon for profit. Mitch, this is Mr.
Spain, Jeff Spain.
How are you? Sit down. Sit down.
Thank you. Can I buy you a drink?
Not for me. And Mitch has had enough.
Oh, not Teal. Don't know his...
I wanted to talk with you about filing a land title, Travis. Maybe we better go over to your office.
What you want to file on?
My partner and I got a little spread about 100 miles west of here.
Partner?
It's Cy Quill. He's waiting for me back on the trail. Doesn't like town much.
All right. Look, come around in the morning. I'll fix it then.
But can't we do it today?
Oh, come around early in the morning. I'm pretty sober then. I sleep in back. I'm going now. Bye to you, Spain.
Well, now you know Mitch.
No business of mine. Unless it interferes with filing my title.
It won't.
It, must be hard for you, though.
Yes. That's why Dad left the Lark to me when he died. He knew Mitch couldn't run it.
You seem to be doing all right.
I make money. But I envy you, Spain. I envy you, your little spread about 100 miles west of here.
I understand.
Who are you, anyway?
Oh, I'm a cowman. Run a ranch.
You said that. But there's something about you. I think I've heard your name.
I used to be a peace officer. Gunfighter on the side of the law.
You're not wearing a gun now.
I changed my profession 2 years ago. I killed till I got against killing.
You're a strange man. Well, I wish you luck.
Thank you.
You must excuse me now. I have work to do.
Yeah, of course. Good day.
It's evening. Spain is standing by the window of his room in the Kettle House, watching the crowd move endlessly in its search for pleasure and violence.
Who is it?
Duke Reese. I want to talk to you, Spain.
All right, come in with both hands straight in front of you, shoulder high, and come in slow. All right, that's enough. Now turn around. All right, you can put him down.
You're cautious, Spain.
What do you want?
I want to give you a job.
I got a job.
I know, but this pays better than raising cows.
You know a lot, mister. Who are you?
The county commissioners will tell you I'm the district attorney here.
I see. What else?
I'm the law in Pagosa, and I appoint sheriffs and I fire them.
Yes, I know the story.
You should, Spain. Why'd you leave Abilene?
Too many men were dying there.
They'll die here. You're well known, Spain.
Who told you I was in town?
Mitch Trappas mentioned it.
All right, you found me. Now get out.
I'll put it briefly. As sheriff of Pagosa, you'll get $500 a month and 25% of the take. You and I will run this town together. All right, 30% of the take.
They told you wrong about me, Reese, if you think I'd be interested in a deal like this.
I'm firing the present sheriff in the morning.
I won't help you.
Spain, I need a man of your reputation and ability too much to let you go. Come to my office tomorrow night. I'll explain the details to you then. Good night.
It's morning. The town of Pagosa lies exhausted beneath the long, streaming sunlight. Spain enters the land office and goes to the back room where Mitch Travis lies asleep in his bunk.
Mitch? Mitch. Come on, wake up. Wake up, Mitch.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah. Come on, it won't take long.
What do you want, Spain?
Let's get it done, Mitch. I want to file the claim and get out of here.
No, Spain, I can't do it.
What's that?
I just can't do it, that's all.
Who said you can't do it, Mitch?
I just can't do it. There's been a delay.
Who told you not to do it? Show me. Tell me, Mitch.
Teal. Teal said no.
Teal?
She said maybe we can fix it later. Not now.
All right, Mitch. But you stay here till I get back.
Spain crosses Cherokee Street, enters the lock, and goes to the bar. At one end, a couple of men ravaged by the long night stare dumbly at an empty bottle before them. A lone bartender's on duty, polishing glasses with a slow, fanatical care.
Where do I find Teal Travis?
She's upstairs.
Which room?
End of the hall, but I wouldn't bother her so early if I were you.
I'll chance it. Jeff Spain.
I just got up. What do you want?
Open the door, Teal.
Yes?
One arm holding a bright scarlet robe closely about her body, Teal stands in the doorway. A touch of sleep is still on her, softening her cheeks, loosening the arrangement of her hair. Her soft hazel eyes look uncertainly into Spain's, checking his anger.
I'm sorry for this, but I must talk with you.
All right. Come in, then.
Mitch is weak. Drunk and weak. He'll do whatever you tell him.
Yes. Yes, it's true.
Why did you tell him not to file my title?
Can't you file somewhere else?
My land lies within the jurisdiction of Pagosa. I must file it here.
Then wait. Wait a little. Maybe later...
Teal, you must know I'm not a man to accept that. It'd be easier if you tell me the whole story.
Duke Reese wants you to be sheriff here.
Yes, I know.
And unless you go along with him, you won't get your title claim filed.
I see. Teal, yesterday you said you envy me my ranch. You remember that?
Yes, I remember.
You know, I can't figure you, Teal. What's your part in this business?
I can't tell you.
How is it? Are you in love with Reese?
No, get out. Get out of here.
And you're not in love with him. Good.
I hate him.
She stands there, swaying slightly, her fingers covering her eyes until Spain steps close to her, gently presses it to him. Then she looks up, her eyes brimming and filled with wonder.
Jeff.
He suddenly bends over and kisses her lips.
Oh. Jeff. Jeff, go away before it's too late.
There have been men like Duke Reese before. I can handle him. But Teal, what's his power over you? You can trust me, Teal.
It's because Mitch is drunk and doesn't always know what he's doing. Duke tricked him into filing some crooked land titles, and now he could send him to prison anytime he wants.
I see. So now I go to work for Reese or I don't get my land.
But Jeff, what can I do?
You do what you have to do. I'll handle Reese my own way.
But how?
I don't know yet. But Teal, try to remember this.
What, Jeff?
Reese isn't a man to give up easily. There'll be trouble. But I won't do anything that doesn't have to be done. Try to understand that when it happens.
All right. All right, Jeff. I'll try.
And when this is over, Teal, I'll be back. Now, where'd I find Duke Reese?
For refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. When your mouth feels dry, when you're warm or tired, Wrigley's Spearmint is really refreshing. The lively, full-bodied, real mint flavor cools your mouth, moistens your throat, freshens your taste. And the chewing itself gives you a little lift, helps you feel your best and do your best. So for chewing enjoyment plus pleasant refreshment, chew delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. And now for the second act of Pagosa, as we return to romance.
It's mid-morning when Jeff Spain steps out of the Lark into Cherokee Street. Across the street and a few doors down, he sees a sign neatly lettered District Attorney, and underneath is the name of Duke Reese. Spain walks over quickly, throws open the door, and enters.
Well, Spain, I didn't expect you so soon.
I always try to be a little ahead of the other man.
Yes. Oh, yes, of course. Sit down.
I'll stand.
You don't like me, do you, Spain?
You were going to explain things to me, Reese.
All right, it doesn't matter. We'll make a profitable team anyway. Now, my offer still stands. $500 a month and 30% of the take.
Oh? And how would I earn it?
Well, your reputation will earn most of it for you. It's very simple, Spain. For the next 6 months, I shall want campaign contributions from the gambling halls and saloons hereabouts. I'm running for the state legislature, you know.
I didn't know.
Yes. And I'm sure everyone will contribute generously, knowing that if they don't, our sheriff will close them down for some good legal reason or other. I'll provide that. Well?
Why don't you send for some other gunfighter, Reese?
Why? When I can trust you.
What's your point, Reese?
Just that in 6 months, you can have title to your land. And I think you want that.
And what guarantee do I have of it?
You don't need any. In 6 months, I'm leaving Pagosa for good. I don't care what happens here after that.
And if I refuse?
In that case, I won't be able to afford to leave, will I? If I do stay on here, Spain, Mitch Travis will file that title in my name.
I see.
And he'll file it in my name anyway, if you accept the job and you and I, shall we say, don't get along. You have till tomorrow morning to decide. Don't be a fool, Spain.
We all make mistakes, Reese.
A few minutes later, Spain rides out of town, taking the trail towards the chaparral where Cy Quill is waiting for him. There in the shade, they pass the afternoon in talk. And late that night, a pair of riders run in off the desert, put their horses in Teal Travis' stable, and walk back to the Kettle House, where, in Spain's room, they make their final plans, and then go quietly to bed. Next morning, they come out of the hotel and head for the district attorney's office.
Reese, this is my partner, Cy Quill.
Oh? How do you do, Mr. Quill?
Howdy.
You still want to appoint me sheriff of Pagosa?
Then you've decided?
Yeah. Where's the badge?
Right here.
Good. Now get one out for Cy. I just made him my deputy.
What?
Give him a badge. I'm not new at this game, Reese, and I always appoint my own men.
Well, all right, if you insist.
Now go down to the sheriff's office and fire whoever's in there. Get him out by noon. I'll take over then.
Now, just a minute, Spain. I'm not used to being ordered around.
I can't fire your man. Tell him to turn loose any prisoners he's got in there. I don't like another man's leavings.
A few minutes before noon, Spain walks alone down Cherokee Street towards the sheriff's office. He now carries a heavy Colt 44 on his hip, slung in a worn hard leather holster. He has the air of a man who knows his business. Knows it well. He enters the sheriff's office and finds it deserted. At the rear is a door leading out to a half a dozen cells, now empty. With his arm, Spain sweeps a pile of papers off the former sheriff's desk and sits down.
All right, Cy?
Sure. I give the letter to the stage driver himself. Promise to deliver it personally when he gets to Spring City. He just pulled out.
Good.
He seemed like a nice fella. Offered me a free trip anytime I wanted to ride shotgun for him.
Well, that's mighty generous. Well, Cy, let's get started.
I'm ready.
All right, I showed you where the land office is, and I'll go down there and arrest Mitch Travis.
Right.
But take it easy with him, huh?
I know.
Half an hour later, Mitch is quietly asleep in his cell with the help of half a pint of whiskey the law's been nursing him with. In the office, Cy Quill is cleaning an oil in a short-barreled Winchester carbine, while Spain sits motionless at his desk, only his eyes alert and watchful.
Come in. Hello, Teal.
Where's Mitch?
He's back there, asleep.
Who told you to arrest him?
Nobody. Cy and I... Oh, this is my partner, Cy Quill. Teal Travis.
You got a lot of partners, it seems, Jeff Spain.
No. Just Cy.
And to think I trusted you. That I was surer of you than I've ever been of any man.
Now, wait a minute, Teal. Just let me explain.
What's going on here, Spain? What the devil are you up to?
What's wrong, Reese?
Why did you arrest Mitch Travis?
I didn't exactly arrest him.
He's here, isn't he? In jail?
Well, yes. He's in custody.
Custody? What are you talking about?
Protective custody, so he'll be safe.
Safe from what?
From you, Reese.
All right, Spain. Put your cards on the table.
Sure. This morning, as sheriff of Pagosa, I wrote a letter to the governor explaining a few things about this town and about you. Went out on the noon stage.
What?
Among other things, I mentioned the homestead claim Cy and I want to file for title on. Until the governor sends someone down to investigate, I said I'd protect Mitch. Keep him from being forced to file any illegal titles.
I see. And what'd you say about protecting yourself, Spain?
You want to try it, Reese? You want to try it now?
I'd be a fool for that, wouldn't I?
Yes, you would.
You're proud, Spain.
So?
Proud men die as fast as humble ones.
Sure, but they die proud.
You've double-crossed me, Spain.
I don't mind.
You're in trouble, man. I won't ask you for the badge. You're going to die as sheriff. That way I'll destroy your reputation as well as you.
Cy, see where he goes.
Right.
Jeff.
Yes, Teal.
I was confused and angry. But I'm trying to understand now.
I'm doing what I have to do. Remember, Teal?
But do you have to sacrifice Mitch? He'll go to prison now.
No, I explained his case to the governor.
But when he finds out the shock of it...
It'd have to come sometime. Now or later.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose you're right. I've been a coward, haven't I?
You just did what you thought best to protect your brother, that's all.
I'm glad you're here, Jeff Spain. I've been so alone. I'm glad you've come. Except for one thing.
Oh? What's that?
It's made you... gunfighter again.
Yeah. But for better reasons than I had before.
Your ranch.
And you, Teal.
Oh, Jeff.
Ducky's horse headed north. Should we go after him?
No, we'll wait. He'll be back. With help.
A week passes. Spain is the law in Pagosa. The cowboys quickly learn that while there's a broad streak of tolerance in him, he can be cruel in a tight place, and no one makes the final challenge. Often he is with Teal. Rest of the time he's on the street or in the sheriff's office with Cy Quill.
He's not a bad fellow, this Mitch. I mean, talking to him a lot lately.
Nothing wrong with him that water can't cure. Oh, there's the stage. Take a look, Cy.
Now, come here, quick.
It's Clay Yeager.
Yeah. I thought he'd gone to Mexico.
Where's Reese? I don't see him.
Hey, wait a minute. Who's that?
I don't know. Wait till he turns around.
That's Kitchen. Mel Kitchen.
Two of them. Jeff, Kitchen is one of the fastest gunmen in the country, isn't he?
Yeah, that's why Reese hired him, I suppose. But I don't understand why Reese isn't here, too.
Well, he isn't. What about these two? What's their game, Jeff?
That's been used before. They'll stay close together. I might kill two ordinary men in the same fight, but not this pair. They know one of them's bound to get me.
And then I'll face him with you.
No, thank you, Cy, but this is not your profession.
They'll kill you.
All men die, but all men make mistakes, too.
You're a hard one, Jeff.
Come on, I'll cut you for deal in a little two-handed blackjack.
In the early evening, Spain moves a chair to the porch outside the sheriff's office. He sits there, back to the wall, waiting. His face is expressionless, but his eyes are incredibly watchful. The word travels fast in Pagosa, and the street is deserted. The air seems tight, waiting to be exploding. Half an hour passes. And then down the middle of Cherokee Street come Clay Yeager and Mel Kitchen, walking slowly, about 5 yards apart. As they draw near, Spain rises from his chair and steps warily to the street, his eyes never leaving the approaching killers. 10 yards away, they stop.
Hello, Spain.
How are you, gentlemen?
You're all through, Spain. Kitchen and I are going to kill you.
I'm not surprised at you, Yeager, but I never thought Kitchen here'd kill for money.
There's no money in this now. It's just for the pleasure.
Oh? Then one of you's taking his pleasure mighty serious.
What do you mean?
I'll die, sure, but one of you's going with me. Have you decided which one it's going to be?
I don't get it, Spain.
No man could kill both of you, but I'm faster than either of you, and I'll kill the first man who goes for his gun. Well, gentlemen, I'm ready. But which one of you is willing to die? You made a mistake not deciding this before now.
You talk a lot, Spain.
You can stop me, Kitchen, but you'll die for it. How about you, Yeager? Do you want it?
Listen, Kitchen. I'll count to three, and then we'll both draw.
You're a fool, Yeager.
All right, then, you're faster than I am. You at least got a chance. You started.
I'm not that fast. If he throws a shot at you first, I can get him. Come on, Yeager, it's the only way.
Perhaps I can help you, gentlemen. I'll make the choice. You know I can kill either one of you any time I decide.
Go on, Kitchen. Don't let him start it.
Shut up. He's just trying to throw us off balance.
Blast you, Kitchen. I won't die for you.
Spain stands there poised and deadly, waiting to strike. The two gunmen have made one mistake, and he's waiting for the split second when they'll make another. And then, in his anger, Clay Yeager turns toward Kitchen. As he does, Spain seems only to shrug his right shoulder and dies on his feet. Yeager whirls and draws, but he misses. And his chest is torn apart by two slugs from Spain's gun. He staggers backwards, falls heavily. Spain drops his big Colt into its holster as he steps up to Yeager and kneels by his head.
Clay. Are you dying, Clay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that. Tell me, where's Duke Reese? Why wasn't he with you?
United States Marshal pulled him off the stage at Spring City. Had a warrant.
And that's that.
Yeah. Goodbye, Spain.
At the open window of a room above the lock, Teal Travis stands motionless, staring into the darkness at the far end of Cherokee Street, waiting for a sign that will tell her whether or not her loneliness is over. She stands there until she sees a tall man in a deerskin shirt striding into the light below. At the entrance to the lock, he pauses and looks up and raises his hand to her.
Jeff. Oh, Jeff.
Remember, friends, for refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of lively, real mint flavor in it to cool your mouth, freshen your taste, and sweeten your breath. And chewing Wrigley's Spearmint helps keep you fresh and alert. You feel better, work better, get more fun out of doing things. So indoors, outdoors, at work or play, always keep delicious Wrigley's Spearmint chewing gum handy. For refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and brings you the greatest love stories of today and yesterday. Tonight you have heard Pagosa by John Meston, starring Bill Conrad with Georgia Ellis and Will Wright. Featured in the cast were Tony Barrett, Lamont Johnson, Tom Holland, Herb Ellis, and Junius Matthews. The narrator was Bill Johnstone. Musical supervision is by Alexander Courage. Next week, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the chewing treat enjoyed by millions, will bring you another story enjoyed by millions. Millard Kaufman's unusual romance, Ulysses. Be sure to listen to Romance next week when the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you Ulysses. This is the CBS Radio Network.
From August 6th, 1951, that was the CBS Radio dramatic series Romance, and an episode titled Pagosa. And that puts a wrap on my presentation for this time around. I hope you've enjoyed listening to these programs as much as I've enjoyed playing them for you. Before I go, I want to let everyone know that a date has been set for the Old Time Radio Spring Marathon. That date will be May 4th, 2024. As always, these marathons get started 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific, that's noon Eastern, and continue on for 12 hours of great Old Time Radio programming and fellowship. They're always a lot of fun, so be sure and mark your calendar. You don't want to miss it. And with that, this is Brad Snyder saying so long until the next time we meet on Michael's Saturday Surprise.